Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. And today on Mythic Physique, I'm proud to be speaking with Bill Hinburn of Super Strength Training. Greetings and welcome, Bill. How have you been?
Good evening. I've been very well. And yourself?
I had some setbacks, but I'm doing very well. That's why I suggested today's topic, getting back on your feet. I went through a period where I started to be very imbalanced in my walking, and I started getting dizzy when I moved around. So I went for medical tests, and now I'm in physical therapy, and I'm doing a lot better. But in many ways, I had to start from point zero in my training because for a while, I couldn't maintain the balance to do anything with the weight. So that's where I am, and that's where I've been, and I'm moving forward. And I thought that it might be a helpful topic to share information on, because a lot of people find themselves in that position, and it doesn't have to be an illness. They could have had some family emergencies that demanded their time, or they could have been involved in some working project, and then all of a sudden they can't work out like they did before.
Well, I know. Absolutely. And there's a variety of different reasons. You know, a lot of times it could be, like you say, family problems. It could be work-related, time-consuming problems such as that. And of course, the pandemic the last couple of years hasn't done anybody any good as far as, you know, juggling their time, et cetera. And there are a lot of people that discovered working out at home for the first time. They really like it, and they said they may not go back to the gym. And then there's other ones that crave going back to the gym for, again, they have many reasons. But starting over is important, and there's many key things to keep in mind. One, a lot of people are concerned that they're going to lose, you know, their strength, their muscle size, what have you. Well, you'd be surprised. You don't lose as much as you think you do, okay? And the other thing is when you do stop training, you will achieve, you will get back in the groove and achieve your previous strength a lot quicker than what you think.
Yes.
But I'm not alluding to muscle memory necessarily, but it's a lot easier to get where you have been than to go where you have never been, if you understand
well
what I mean.
You know, that's very well said.
I could probably fine-tune that a little bit better for a quote, but here's the thing. You have to go back to the basics. And the basics are compound movements, okay? And you should do one set, possibly two, okay, of eight repetitions, slowly. Don't be doing any of that slamming and banging stuff you did when you were a kid. That's definitely a no-no. What you want to do is you want to overcome any soreness that you're going to develop, because you will. You'll have soreness again, just like you did the last time you started training for, you know. And you have to consider improving your flexibility, okay, which means you have to do full extension, full contraction, slowly, okay. And you only do a handful of exercises, I would say, pressing movements, curls, squat, and a deadlift. Now, here's the key, and of course, sit-ups. Here's the thing that's very, very important. I didn't say anything about a barbell or a dumbbell. You can, when your body is training and you're trying to develop strength, okay, you use a manner of progression. You can use many things. You can use body weight. You can start with that. The disadvantage is, of course, you can't increase the weight.
Right.
You can use dumbbells, light dumbbells, or you can use a barbell. And again, use 50% of your one rep max, okay? This is not a muscle developing routine. This is to get you back into exercising, and you're going to invite soreness, okay? You want to get by the soreness. Don't go into it whole hog and use the same resistance that you did, when you stopped training. That spells disaster. That spells pulled muscles, and it also will. If you try to do that sort and you fail, now you become despondent. Okay.
Right.
That's not a good thing. And of course, you have to have a warm up beforehand, just to get your breathing accelerated, possible perspiration, what have you. Okay, and I recommend doing this, say 3 times a week. Again, the old-fashioned Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or whatever other days you have, but more importantly, a resting day in between your routines. Your routines should not take more than 20 minutes, a half hour. Okay, you're getting back into exercising. Okay, and exercise doesn't necessarily mean that you are in a muscle developing. It can be simply keeping everything, well oiled. And as you get a little long in the tooth, like me, you get to be like
and
a rusty gate. See.
Uh huh.
And so that's the important thing. And again, there's a lot of people that are in this because of the pandemic. Okay. People's time schedules have been thrown out of whack. They have a lot of idle time on their hands, or they have a different type of job, different obligations and what have you. But it's important to set aside that 20 minutes, a half hour, at the same time each day that you train. Don't be going from, morning to evening or stuff like that. If you're going to start out on a Monday and you want to train in the evening, fine. Make sure it's always in the evening. Your body responds, commands, demands regularity in more ways than one, okay? And if you do that, then you will find in time your body, you will feel your body look for it. In other words, if you train Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Wednesday comes along, and let's say you train at 6 p.m., and your body will feel like it wants to exercise. It's just,
right.
It's routine. It's like, for example, the sleep pattern. Your body gets into a biorhythmic sleep pattern, and you're not going to change that. You're not going to switch that around and say, okay, I'm going to stay up all night and I'm going to go to sleep at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and I'm going to get up at 10 o'clock, and then I won't have to sleep again. No, you're going to be tired again at the same time, say 11 p.m. or what have you, that you did before. It's just how it is. It's very difficult to change those sorts of things, okay? And once you get into a, it's like the person that, you'll hear people say, I get up at 6 a.m. every morning without an alarm clock. Every morning I wake up at 6 a.m. And every evening I get tired at 10 p.m. or whatever, okay? And they're in a rhythm.
Right.
And they eat at the same time every day. They eat two meals or three meals or whatever, okay? And they have their morning constitutional, okay? At about the same time. It's rhythmic And it's, you know, it's really a very, very good thing. But your body comes to crave regimentation. And the same holds true with exercise. But for you to go through and do the different exercises, you know, it doesn't have to be anything that is elaborate. I emphasize the compound movements, simple. Don't do any specialization or, you know, well, I'm going to work on my arms today. No. A total body workout. And again, maybe pressing movements, squats, deadlifts, curls, and stuff like that. Hit all of the, and of course, sit-ups, okay? Don't forget the sit-ups. And that will get you back into training. Also, let's not overlook the fact that you have to have, like I say, the sleep pattern. Make sure that you get rest and nutrition. That's important. Eat properly. A lot of people neglect that. They think they can, eat anything that isn't nailed down. You know, I think of the stuff that I ate when I was a kid. My God, you know.
I know, it's amazing looking back. At,
it is.
It was considered nutritious back then.
Yeah.
And healthy for you.
That's for sure. Yeah. But, like I say, it's imperative that you use that point of view. And don't have any question in your mind but what this is going to work. Say, well, I don't know if this is going to work or not. No. Get rid of the borderline negative thought waves, okay? This is going to work. You can say to yourself, yes, I had a layoff, but I'm going to get back into this, and I'm going to stick with it, okay? A lot of people stop training, and then they tend to procrastinate. That's not a good idea. The best thing to do is just get back into it. Take that 20 minutes, a half hour, eliminate all the other things on your mind, and get back into your training. Now, after you have done this for 2 or 3 weeks, if you want to go back to the routine that you were doing prior to your layoff, okay,
mm-hmm.
you can go ahead and do that. But remember, you're not going to be able to use the same weight that you did before. So
no.
You cut back, okay? You cut back and work up to it and then possibly surpass it, you know, surpass the amount of resistance or the reps or whatever. But whatever you do, as usual, it has to be progressive, in which case there's only a few things you can do. And one is increase the resistance. Two, tighten up your form, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Three, add reps. Four, add sets, okay? And five, cut the rest time, not only between the reps, between the sets, and the rest time between your workout periods. In other words, the classic Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is a good starting point. But some people, when they get into the real heavy stuff, when they're really taxing their muscles, they need an extra day, especially, again, like you, if you're, long in the tooth. If you're 45, 50 years old, and especially when you get into the 60s,
mm-hmm.
take 2 days off in between. Train twice a week, okay? That extra day can make all the difference in the world. Recuperation to recuperate. If you don't, you are wearing yourself down. You know, it only stands to reason. Many people will, like they say, quote-unquote, overdo it.
Right,
and then they're immune system can take a hit, and they get they catch a common cold or what have you, or the flu or whatever. And, and nobody talks about the flu nowadays because, you know, that leads to. So that's the best way that I know of to handle getting back in the so-called groove. But, you know, a lot of other people have their you know, methods. You know, we can take, for example, the bodybuilder or the Olympic lifter or whatever. The bodybuilder, for example, they're not all these guys that are champions, okay? They're not always, and I repeat, they're not always in contest form, okay? They peaked out. They can't do that. You cannot do what they do 365 days a year, okay? It's physically. Now, you can be in very good shape. You can be close to it, okay, year-round, but you're not going to be super bulked up. And in many cases, you know, on the off season, they will gain a little bit of fat, and may not be as strong. But then, when it comes to preparing for a contest or whatever, they know how to handle that. They know how to tweak everything.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to get to the size, the shape. You know, if they have to work on their abs, or if they have a problem with their legs, or you know, anything like that. They know how to do it, and they can do it in a matter of 6 weeks. They can't do it year-round.
It's amazing, and now a lot of information's come out about how action heroes, the cinematic ones, train. And it's very clear there, too. They'll train for, like, shots. It'll take place over a couple of days. So they need to look good during that time. And the rest of the time, they don't look, you know, they're still muscular and healthy.
Right.
Nothing like when those pictures need to be taken. And so they
train for
shots, you know, and the exercise they do are for those particular shots. So,
well, even if you see them on off season, you know, you'll say, you know, you'll walk right by them. You won't even know who they are off season. Okay. And you know, even, you know, and to take it a step further, after a couple of years, if they stop training for contests, okay. And again, when they get older, nobody can continue doing what they do throughout their entire life. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Frank Zane, okay, is a couple of good examples. They're nowhere near what they were, but none of us are, okay?
Right.
And you simply can't. And a lot of them have injuries, okay? And these injuries aren't necessarily from, you know, exercise. It could be just a matter of getting old. There are many people that have never picked up a barbell or a dumbbell that have to have reconstructive surgery, say, on their knees, the shoulders, or hips, okay? So it's just the body is breaking down. It's what it does. From the moment you're born, you're starting to wear, okay? And it really starts to rear its ugly head when you get in your late 30s and 50 and what have you. There are things that the doctors look for and, you know, everything, because statistically this is, these are ailments that pop up, especially if you were carrying too much weight. Notice I didn't say fat.
Right.
Okay. They're going to look for cholesterol. They're going to look for high blood pressure. They're going to look for, what's the other one? There's three. Cholesterol, blood pressure.
Sugar.
There you go, sugar. And excess weight, and again, I didn't say fat. Excess, because the weight puts the wear and tear on the internal organs. But excess weight does not necessarily cause any of those three. But it can aggravated.
Right.
That's what you have to watch for, because that weight, you know, so many more capillaries, your heart has to work harder, all the internal organs, lungs, you name it, kidneys, everything. You have to be careful. But that doesn't mean that you can't train, and it doesn't mean that you can't find a way, okay?
I find that when I'm out of training for a while, I do, as you recommend, I have different things that I also do, but basically just start slow. So I go back as if I'm a beginner, and I'll start with 5-pound dumbbells. And if that's easy, next time I'll put wrist and ankle weights on, so it's 7.5 pounds. If that's easy, next time I'll go to 10, then 12, 50, 15, until I hit the point where I can't do 8 repetitions in good form. Then I'll work toward getting those 8 and beyond the 8, and then when I get to like 12 or so where it's easy, then I'll up the weight. And it's a gradual thing, and it takes time. But I find that, as you pointed out, it's very reliable. And to not be able to do anything a couple of weeks ago, now I'm using up to 20 pounds in my exercise, my dumbbells, kettlebells, D weights. And again, it's low numbers. But again, a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't do it. So it's pretty steady. And in the physical
therapy. Well, you should be proud of that.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, and again, people get disheartened, but you can't allow yourself to get disheartened. You're on the path. And it'll take a while, and just give it the time it'll take, and don't give up. You know, just keep going. Don't tell yourself, oh, this isn't working, because one day you'll wake up and it'll work, and one day people will start commenting on your muscles. But until that day, you're not going to see it. So you just keep moving ahead with faith that it'll come, and it will come. This is a road well mapped.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As soon as you start telling yourself, or even having a shadow of a doubt in your mind, you're sabotaging your efforts. The most important thing is, I can do this. I will do it. And if you don't do it today, you'll say, I'll do it tomorrow. It will be done. I will do this. And you have to have perseverance. Okay? You can't quit. You can't jump from routine to routine, because this particular routine is not giving you results because you've only done it 2 weeks.
Right.
You've got to have patience, and you have to persevere. And this is where a lot of people fall by the wayside, like New Year's resolutions. You know, when you're young, you're in your teens, and this is the thing that Charles Atlas made such a splash. When a kid is in his teens, say 14 years old, okay, and he starts the Charles Atlas course, you know, starting out in puberty, okay, and he is going to grow regardless. He's going to get stronger if he never did any exercise. So that exercise, and I'm not knocking Atlas's course. It's a great course for what it is designed for. But I'm simply saying, okay, that people will gain muscle, okay, without doing the course. They won't gain as much, okay, but they will gain some, okay? So you're giving the course an awful lot of credit, all right? But the most important thing is, when somebody starts out in any type of training, in their teens, they get results. Nearly every routine will give them results because they're growing. They're in the prime physically, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have to understand. And then when it stops, all these gains are stopping, you know, after, let's say, 6 months or a year, and you know, you really have to work hard. People will give up and say, well, gosh, it's just not working anymore. Well, you have to change the routine, change the run, because your body adapts. Adaptation is your arch enemy, okay? Your body will adapt. I mean, we've been around as long as cockroaches, you know, and we adapt. We adapt to everything, you know. And this is the thing. This is why we've been around so long. We adapt. We adapt to the exercise. Okay, if we have a different food source, you know, people drive me nuts when they come up with this. Well, these people that eat you know, macaroni and bread and cheap food, but they should eat better. Well, they can't eat filet mignon every day like you can because you have a lot of money.
Right.
It's availability. I'll use that as an example. I'll also use, why do the Japanese have a lot of fish in their diet? Because they're surrounded with the Pacific Ocean.
By water,
you got fish everywhere. You're going to eat it. Or you go to other places. You go to places in Europe. If you're anywhere near the ocean, you're going to eat seafood. All right?
Right.
In America, if you're out west where cattle are everywhere, you're going to eat beef. In America, the availability of potatoes, beef, okay, corn, and what have you. It's part of our tradition. It's part of our heritage. You know, you go to Europe, you go to Italy, you're not going to find many potatoes, but you're going to find pasta, okay,
mm-hmm.
and tomatoes, and you're going to find wine. You go to Germany, you're going to find beer, okay? It's availability, and it becomes part of your culture, okay? And that's the thing when people consider nutrition. You have to say to yourself, okay, what can I live with? You know, what can I go to a restaurant? What can I order at a restaurant? Okay. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hamburgers, you know, hamburgers are everywhere in this country. Okay. It's part of our heritage. Hot dogs. Okay. You go anywhere and you can find a hot dog. Any restaurant, with the exception of an ethnic restaurant, is going to have a hot dog in the menu, or it's going to have a hamburger or a salad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of these things. But it has to be, you have to have, it has to be available. The Inuits, okay, so-called Eskimos, okay, whale blubber, very little carbohydrates in their diet. Why do they eat what they ate? Because it was, again, available. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When they were introduced and they were very fit, you know, they didn't carry any fat. When they were introduced to the Western world or so-called civilization with carbohydrates, they gained weight. Carbohydrates mm-hmm. will cause you to gain weight. Okay? If you want to lose weight, okay, and this goes over the long haul, okay, you're not going to do this overnight. If you want to lose weight, I should say fat, maintain your training, eliminate pasta, white bread, and if you're so inclined, beer, because it's high in carbohydrate. But eliminate the pasta and the bread and whole milk. Whole milk will, you know, has a high percentage of fat. Okay,
yes.
Because of the very nature of the food. You'd be surprised how much weight you lose. I've known people that were heavy beer drinkers. The doctor told them, you got to stop doing this. Your blood pressure's through the roof. The only thing they did was stop drinking beer. It was 50 pounds. Didn't change anything other than his diet. And his diet was terrible, okay? But he lost 50 pounds simply by giving up beer.
I've known people that have soda, and the same thing happens. If they just give up soda, if they give up candy, or just one or two things, it makes a tremendous difference. Yeah.
Well, I reiterate, when you get older,
mm-hmm.
there are certain things that you have to consider. First of all, your testosterone is going to be a lot lower. Have you ever noticed men that wear suspenders, older men wear suspenders?
Yes.
Why do you suppose that is? I think I might have shared this with you. Why do you suppose that is?
You've shared it, and I found it to be true, because I'm getting in that category now, too.
Yeah, because they're losing their glutes, the muscle mass. Do you ever notice older men that you'll see that they lose their muscle mass in their shoulders and their hips?
Yes.
Well, if you lose the muscle mass in your hips, your pants are going to slide off, you know.
And that was part of the physical therapy to tighten my glutes, you know.
That's
in areas. So a lot of the balance I was losing was because I'm getting older and I'm losing my glutes. So that's a very important. The first thing I remembered when they told me that was the story you shared with me, that you're sharing again now.
Well, that's true, you know, everybody says, you know, well, occasionally you'll see a young man wear suspenders, okay, in their 20s or 30s, a lot of time, but it's a fashion statement is what it is. It used to be popular back in the 30s and the 40s, okay, right up there with wearing a vest with a suit, okay. Sometimes they wear a vest, or sometimes they will wear suspenders, okay. It is fashion, and when you get older, it is definitely function. It has a purpose, okay? And it's to keep your pants up, you know. Other than that, you bend over, and somebody will think you're a plumber, you know, that type of thing. But that is because the testosterone starts to wane. Okay, and you know, yes, there's a lot of guys out there that will seek out a doctor, and they'll get testosterone. Okay, I guess it helps. I couldn't tell you one way or another. I certainly don't use any type of testosterone type supplement. I'm not against it.
Neither
do
I.
It's what somebody wants to do, you know. But for me, those are some of the things you have to consider when you're getting back into training. You have to back off. Now, I've often told people when they, and I think I've said this before, when people are hitting the so-called wall, you know, they just can't seem to gain. They can't seem to progress. They can't seem to add that rep. They can't seem to add that resistance. And be able to complete the movement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, back off. Back off for a week. Take a week off. In most cases, you're only going to give up 2 or 3 workouts, okay? Come back refreshed, okay? You will feel refreshed. And drop your resistance by about 10%. Maintain good form, good technique, and continue on. I can't tell you how many people, Hercules, that have told me that it worked for them. They went right by that stumbling block. And
I find that worked for me as well, just to take some time off, sometimes even just a day or two. That's all you need to get past the plateau. And
your body has to catch up.
Too. Yes. And sometimes it's in your head, too. We've talked about that in the past as well. We're halfway through. Do you want to take a brief break? We could listen to a song. Okay, great. We will listen to Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley.
The music. supper cries. Lady of moonlight, lady of day, I am lost, lost on my way. What path do my feet tread now? To the shade of the golden bough. At the turning of night, she stood between one world and another, all that she knew and all that she knew was to heed the call of mother, lady of moonlight, lady of day. Golden bow.
Greetings and welcome back to Mythic Physique. I am Hercules Invictus and I'm talking with Bill Hinburn of Soup Training. Today we're exploring ways in which you can get back to working out after having to take off for a while. Greetings and welcome back, Bill.
Welcome back. Yeah, here I am and there you are. And we'll continue on with starting over.
Yes. And just to share with everybody, I've recently been in a position where I had to start over. I'm diabetic with type 2 diabetes, so I have neuropathy, so that affects my balance. But something else was in there. So I went for medical tests, a bunch of them, and now I'm in physical therapy. But I had to lay off the weight training because I wasn't balanced enough to handle it. So I started back. So this is a topic that is very topical for me at the present time. And Bill is wise in the ways of working out. So I'm hoping our conversation can help other people who are in the same position.
Absolutely. Again, recovery is probably the number one thing you have to keep in mind. And that's based on recuperation. Now notice I didn't say sleep. You know, recuperation, taking a day off, forgetting about the exercise, the barbells, whatever you're doing, okay? Enjoy life. You know, there has to be a balance. And then when your next training session is up, be ready for it. You know, don't shirk it off. Get in there and get it. And the five principles that I mentioned before are the keys to progression. And that is probably the best bit of advice I can give anybody.
It's excellent advice, and it's very close to what I do in circumstances like that. And what you talked about before about resistance and increasing the amounts of repetitions or sets or cutting back on the time when between exercises, I found that that's helped in the physical therapy. Although I have a ways to go, my physical therapists have remarked that my recovery has been very, very fast, startlingly so. That's because I apply those principles and I do the physical therapy beyond what I'm doing there. I don't have all their equipment, so I approximate it. But I keep on top of it and whittle away at it and know that it'll take time. And it's amazing how quickly you could show progress.
Absolutely.
Now, I know how I deal with being discouraged. But for a lot of people do get discouraged and they tend to give up. And I find that if you don't give up, the worst that will happen is you won't get there, but you can't beat yourself up because you didn't try. So I'm very persistent when I have a setback, you know, and try to surpass, like you suggested, where I was before. Like right now, when I'm, I guess, supposed to be down, I have even more ambitious goals ahead of me in terms of what I want to look like in my 60s. And this period, this setback brought it about, you know, because I know that I might never attain to these new heights, but I need to aim for them in order to make progress, and that I can't be comfortable with the status quo because the status quo didn't help me when this started happening to me. So I need to make changes and I need to be bolder and so forth. So that's what I do. And can you share other ways that people might talk themselves out of the doldrums or the negative self-talk and so forth?
Well, usually you have to take inventory. For example, one of the things that is a misnomer, and people say, I don't have time for that. Well, they have the same amount of time to the second that everyone else does. It's a partial truth. You don't have time for that particular thing. It's not a priority. It's time to sit down, forget about everything. If you're that you know, stressed over it or the workload's too high and everything, sit down and write out a synopsis of what is important. 1 to 10, say. And put in the order of importance. What is important to you? Okay. At the top, whatever it is. Okay. Your health. Let's say that. If your health goes to hell, you're going to be miserable.
Right.
And if you're miserable, you're going to make everybody else miserable. All right. So let's put number one, health. So what do I do to improve my health? okay? Well, you have to consider nutrition, recovery, and exercise, okay? Whatever else underneath there, okay? Your family, your spouse, your children, your employment, okay? And then under that, wherever you live, your dwelling, be it a homeowner or renting or whatever, put down all these, you know, priorities. But if health is at the top, you're going to have to set aside some time during the week. Again, you got the same amount of days that everyone else does, same mm-hmm. number of hours to the second that everyone else does. If you choose to waste the time, you know, when we're talking a half hour, say 3 days a week, okay? But it has to be something of a ritual. It's like
right.
eating. You get hunger pangs, okay? That's why you eat. Go ahead, fight sleep. Eventually, you'll fall over. You'll fall asleep. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with, you know, bathroom necessities, okay? These are all things that are pretty much wired in by Mother Nature, all right? But the exercise part of it is voluntary. Unless you have something that is, say, a really high-intense physical job, okay, where you get a lot of, physical activity. But regardless, there have been men that and women that have a very physical job. They still find time to train.
Right.
So whatever it is, it's taken up that half hour three times a week. Set it aside. I see people that are on a cell phone all the time. And I don't think they really realize how much they're on a cell phone. Imagine what life was like, and you do.
I remember.
Before we had cell phones. I look back at that before we had computers.
Me too.
You know, I can't remember before we had television because I'm from the television generation. My
Me
father
too.
Would. They had the radio. People would listen to the radio, okay? And you can always find something to occupy your time. And reading books or whatever. But if you set aside, again, I hate to repeat this constantly, but you do have time. It's a
yes,
matter of priorities. Okay? If you have the priority of exercise, and again, it's an hour and a half a week, you know, it can work wonders.
That's very true. It's a matter of making it a habit. And then if you don't do it, you start feeling bad. So
yes.
Setting up that habit is just repetition and ritual and scheduling. And if you stick to the same times as Bill recommended, it will. If you don't do it, you'll start feeling nervous and start feeling bad and you won't feel right until you do it. And that's where you want to be with your good habits.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's important. There are times that you should be hard on yourself. You should say, hey, knock it off. Let's do this. Okay? It's a half hour. And again, you have to be careful with that. You can't just go through the motions, so to speak. Okay? I've seen people on treadmills. They're watching TV. They're not concentrating. I've seen people with dumbbells in their hands, you know, and they're completely oblivious or carrying on conversations. It's better to focus. Close your eyes, focus. Think of what you're doing. Think of your goal. You have to be a visionary.
Mm-hmm.
The most famous people in the world were visionaries, okay? The greatest inventors, or the greatest industrialists, or the greatest bodybuilder, the greatest weightlifter. You'll see them concentrate. They'll look down, they'll close their eyes, and they'll get before that barbell. And they'll make a record lift or a bodybuilder, same way. He's thinking through that dumbbell and actually carving that muscle. He's thinking, I'm making this muscle bigger. I can do this. Nothing's going to stop me. You have to have a relentless a relentless positive attitude that nothing will get in your way.
And that is the truth of it. It is the truth of it for any endeavor, even as you pointed out, beyond weights. If you want to become great at something, or you want to be noticed at something, or whatever your motivation happens to be, you have to prioritize it and you have to give it your all. I learned long ago that not everything works out and not every attempt is going to take you there. And I started reading about visionaries. And a lot of visionaries said pretty much the same thing, that if you want to accomplish something great, try to do 10 great things. And one of them you'll succeed at. The rest, two or three might take you a certain point, but they won't take you further. And the rest just aren't going to happen. And if you could accept that, not that life becomes easier, but it becomes less, you become less defeatist, because you know that, okay, this didn't work out right now, put it on the shelf. Maybe later, maybe never, but in an entertainment, sometimes years pass before an idea that was thrashed around actually comes to fruition and happens.
Timing is everything.
Yeah.
Timing. Timing is extremely important. There are things that have, we've had electric cars back in the 20s. A lot of people don't know that. There were electric cars, but the timing was not right. The market was not there. They were developed for women, because the cars of that time had the crank in front to start them. And one of the executives, I can't remember which domestic auto company, anyway, his wife hurt her arm. I don't know if she broke it or whatever. Hurt her arm, okay? So he put the task coming up with an electric car where you didn't need the crank. You know, well, it didn't go over. But then now, necessity, you know, is very important when it comes to invention. Now everybody's looking at electric cars, and there's a number of other things that the market was just not ready.
But right.
For someone to come up with, and then there's cycles. You know, a lot of old stuff is brought back, repackaged, and boom, it takes off like crazy. You know, what's that exercise where everybody gets injured? I think you know what I'm talking about.
I think I know too, but it's on the tip
of
my
injury,
tongue.
A lot of injury prone. But anyway, it was nothing more than circuit training. Back in the 50s, mm-hmm. there was a book written. I think it's 1957 or whatever. A couple of college students in Great Britain. They wrote a book on circuit training. You had the variety of different exercises, and you were on a stopwatch, and you tried to always, you know, do the same exercise in less time.
Less time, yeah.
Yeah, and it was brought back. Kettlebells. Kettlebells were popular back in the day, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, 40 years ago, there were none in this country. Now they're everywhere. You know, I see them at garage sales. I see them at yard sales.
Or, yeah, in like five below, there's like tons of light kettlebells you can buy. And I see them everywhere also. And I remember, too, when a kettlebell, where do you get a kettlebell from? And they were expensive as hell.
That's right.
Now, we're approaching the end of our conversation for today, and I would like people to know that you've done the world a great service by preserving a lot of old-time bodybuilding and strength training information and keeping it available and basically sharing the distilled knowledge of everything that you've learned and experimented with over the years. How can people tap into this a vast store of information?
You can go on the internet and type in www.superstrengthtraining.com, and you'll see on every page there's a little window at the top where you sign up for them. You put your name and your email address and click the button, and you'll get a welcome email, and you'll start receiving my my daily emails talking about all sorts of things, like things we just got through talking yeah. about. The people that old-time strongmen, biographies, the latest and greatest things for, you know, health and development, all sorts of good things. But that's how you get going.
Yeah,
I have a loyal following, and I put a lot of good information out.
And some of the stuff, it's very interesting. Like I spent a few months playing with muscle control, and got a bunch of your books by Magix and others. And that was something I hadn't considered before. It was similar to some things I had done, but it was a new thing to experiment with. And I found that you can get like definition and things without using weights, you know, by doing the muscle control. So
yeah.
there's a lot of wisdom that people had because they were visionaries and they used their ingenuity to develop systems that might not be familiar to people today, but they worked wonders,
yeah.
You know, and they're really worth exploring.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bill, let me tell you, I've missed speaking with you. I'm glad we had a chance to talk today. You're an awesome individual. You've done many awesome things, and you preserve a lot of awesome things. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody who's ever benefited from anything you've done, because you're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate that. And I look forward to our next podcast. It will be exciting.
As do I. May you be spared the storm that's blowing now off the Jersey Shore. There's like lightning and thunder in the distance. And I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you very kindly. And I as well. Take care.
You too. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you called in and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I'm going to close this episode like I often do with If You Can Dream. Because if you can make your dreams real, that's what my power to have.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real.